time for another United We Nerd podcast. Hello, everybody over in the Twitch world. How are you doing today? Hope you're all fine. Of course, I am your host, Brian. Along with me, as always, are my lovely co-hosts, Joel and Joby. How are you guys doing?
Hello, hello. It's good to be back.
I've been surviving in 2025 and still going. We'll go.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. Let's just try
surviving
our best.
More than thriving, but you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, this would have been a, you know, just normal podcast episode, but of course, with all the things that have been happening over the weekend and as well as you know, during the whole Nintendo live events last week, there was a lot to talk about. And I kind of want to shout out someone in that commented on our TikTok, Dixie Wrench, that kind of geared us towards this conversation this week. So I just want to give him a shout out. But basically, there's a lot of hoopla. And I know that a lot of people like to, you know, run with certain information and stuff like that. So I think it would have been very proper of us to kind of comb through it ourselves and kind of, you know, talk about it. So for people that don't know, on, what was it, Wednesday, I believe, I did a live reaction to the Switch 2 reveal, the entire event, which you can see on YouTube if you want to. But before I kind of get through everything, I just want to ask you two, like, how much have you heard about everything? I'll start with you, Joby, but like, what's your take on all this news that's been popping out the past few days?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard all that much, aside from probably what would be like considered, you know, the headline news. I mean, and honestly, I can't really say I'm all that surprised. You know, considering we all kind of knew what the ramifications of what's been going on would be. I think, you know, it's very bad timing for the Switch for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you know what I've been seeing, a lot of people are speculating that, you know, there's going to be a massive price hike. Do I think, but you know, on the same time, you know, do I think, is that really gonna affect much? I can't really say yet. I think it's still a little too soon to tell. Because if, you know, if you guys remember when the PlayStation first came, PlayStation 5 first came out, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, you know, and it was, you know, the price for it was still through the roof, especially people, considering people were price gouging, you know, the demand for that was still incredibly high. So I, you know, as bad as it is, and as much bad news, like what you were saying, Brian, as much bad news as there is out there, I think it's just gonna be, I think it's a lot of you know, negative hype to be kind of forced Nintendo hate. And I think, you know, we're still, once the Switch does come out, we're gonna see, I think it's gonna be fine, all things considered.
I think it's for sure, like, people who can are gonna buy this thing and buy wherever they want. Now, depending on how they get it and how much it is, I know it's going to price a good portion of people out. And like you're saying, this is just bad timing for the most part. I know there's a lot of contradictions that we'll probably get into in a little bit, but just to throw it to you, Joel, you know, like we were kind of mentioning before we went live, you know, it's like we have everything going on here happening just like literally like the day of the reveal of the Switch. And of course, the whole conversation is basically like, okay, well, how much of this is the, you know, economic situation that we're going through, and how much of it is just games are getting more expensive regardless of what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely something I think we have to talk about. And, you know, we've been kind of like, I know even on the podcast, been dancing around this topic, like here and there, like, when will we see the $80 game? You know, even the $70 game, you know, we were talking about it too, like, $70 game is like, if it's a special edition, I think was justifiable. But now it's like, we're going to get a base game, $80, and it might go up, right? And, you know, to Joby's point about like what people dished out for the PS5 when it first came out, people are going to do that for the Switch too. And then, yeah, people will be priced out. And, you know, it's a lot of speculation, but we'll see what happens. I feel like Nintendo, you know, is pretty cool, but they're still a business, so they got to make money at the end of the day. You know, that's the name of the game in our country, you know, money, money, money. And that's what's affecting the proposed sales of what they might be. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go deeper in it. But yeah, time will tell.
Time will tell.
Crazy.
I guess we can, what we'll do is we'll kind of hop around through points to points about this whole thing. But I guess obviously the one that everybody is talking about right now is, you know, the Switch 2 gets announced same day as all of the tariffs in the US get enacted. And literally like the next day, Nintendo's like, sorry, North America. Or at first it was the US, but as of today, also now Canada is getting the pre-order access window delayed. So now it's pretty much almost, besides Mexico, it is like most of North America is now in a holding pattern as far as being able to pre-order the Switch 2, because I believe pre-orders are supposed to start tomorrow. I believe.
Ooh, boy.
And, you know, to, you know, Nintendo's point, it's like they don't even know what the situation's going to be, so they don't know how they're going to do it. Now, I guess the first thing, when the Switch 2 was announced, or when the Switch 2 was shown off, I should say, after the Direct came out, the articles started coming out. I was like, okay, well, the base console is going to be around $450. That was the base wrapper price. And then the Switch 2 bundled with the new Mario Kart World was going to be a $499 drop. And of course, that was kind of way over what we speculate. Because I think when it first got officially announced that the Switch 2 was coming, I remember we were talking about, we suspected that maybe it would breach the 400s, keep around that 350 to 400 price range. And this is blown way past that.
No, I saw this $500 price tag coming a mile away.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah. I was saying we were going to be at least $430.
Okay.
Before accessories.
Yeah, before accessories and bundle prices.
But yeah, because you have to imagine, because what, this Switch, the first Switch came out, correct me if I'm wrong, the Switch 2 came out at roughly $300, $350-ish when it came out. So it kind of makes sense that it's a little bit more. And of course, the big arguments of being whether or not this is just what Nintendo was planning on doing, or how much did the tariff situation go into it. And it's kind of confusing a little bit, just because the idea of the tariffs have been looming for a while. So it wouldn't be a surprise if a company like Nintendo had that in mind to begin with. And I know there's been arguments of people saying, like, no, this is just them doing what they want to do, which is it could be very likely because, you know, companies will be a company. But when you look at the Switch 2 prices in Japan, which arguably has a weaker currency than we do, their consoles are still cheaper than ours. And what's weird is that they have a region locked version, which they haven't had in a while. Like we haven't had a region locked console really in a while, which is kind of weird. So I don't know. This is just me. This is just my hypothesis going on. But like they had to have known something was up. They had to have planned something to have a Japan only version of a console. Like there's no like US version of a console. There's no other, as far as I know, there isn't like a England version. There isn't anything else that is region locked other than Japan. So I have a feeling that they knew that it would be a possibility that people would be trying to get their versions, their consoles, because it would be cheap. Like it would be cheaper to just buy a console from Japan, have it ship over, pay the extra money to get it shipped over to here, and you'd still be spending less money than just buying it here. So there's that. And also just kind of like Joel, you picked up on it before, how some of their games that were announced are breaching the $80 range, like Mario Kart World. I believe the Switch 2 version of Tears of the Kingdom is $80.
Didn't know that.
I think Metroid is still like a $60 to $70 game. I know that the new Donkey Kong game is going to be like a $60 game. So it's not everything. But still, $80 was a shock to a lot of people. Because like we've been seeing a little bit of like some games being like $70, but like Nintendo just went like, nah, we're going straight to 80, buddy. But I'll just kind of leave this question, whoever wants to pick it up. Do you think that this is a test to see what they can get away with? Or do you think that this is a hardware, like this is like the games that they selected that would be $80 is like the games that they put a lot of effort into. And so they think that it's the Nintendo price tag. Nintendo thinks highly of their games. Like, so are you shocked that some of these titles are going to be that expensive?
I'm not. I've been seeing a lot of this online lately, people freaking out about games being $80. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, these like free to play, pay to win games that, you know, are so popular right now, it's like you end up shelling out hundreds of dollars over the course of a year playing these games. And sure, you know, it's like, oh, but you get more content and you get blah blah blah. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're gonna throw it back to Destiny. Like every new DLC is $99, and you're basically getting an entire new game out of that. And people are, you know, people are upset about that, but we're getting the same hate for a game that's $20 cheaper. I don't know. Again, like I said earlier, I think a lot of I'm not saying not all of it is justified, but I think a lot of the negativity out there is being really forced and is mainly just to be rage bait. Because we've seen the cost of video games climb over the years.
Yep.
You know, we were all upset when games started being $50. We were all upset when games started being $60. Like, it was only inevitable. True. As the games get more robust and more complex, and there's, you know, more the technology that goes into them, you know, becomes more advanced. Like, yeah, shit's gonna get more expensive. I don't think that particular portion of it has anything to do with the political climate and the global, you know, economic climate. I think that's just a fact of life, that as technology progresses, stuff's going to get more expensive. That being said, seeing certain titles be $80, like Breath of the Wild, that's mind-blowing to me, because that's just a digital remaster, basically.
So,
and I don't think we should be paying, you know, $80 for a game that we've already all played. And, you know, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
You do have a good point. I will specify, just for the record, so that nobody can get us in a gotcha moment. The $80 price tag for the Switch 2 version is buying the full game for the Switch 2. If you already have the game, I believe they said that if you have a Switch Online account, which I think at this point most people who own a Switch have a Switch Online account, the upgrades for Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom are free. Like, they're just given to you. So if you already own it, you know, it's a pretty much a free upgrade for you. But like, for people that haven't invested into the most recent Zelda games, like, yeah, having Tears of the Kingdom be like an $80 purchase and Breath of the Wild be like a $60 to $70 purchase is pretty wild, like, when you think about it. But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, you waited this long and we're adding more stuff into it. Like, they were showing off like the app stuff that they were using, which is weird that they're still trying to invest into the app that nobody one really likes, but at the same time, it's still kind of cool because they literally just added like a GPS to find like items in both Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild. So it was like, oh, okay, that's weird. I just want to throw it over to Ben real quick, who's in chat, saying maybe if large studios didn't make games that have to push the boundary of hardware limitations, then maybe they wouldn't have to be so expensive. And then, living by the quote, I want shooter games with worse graphics made by people who are paid more to work less.
Fair point. You know,
don't disagree.
Those are very fair points. You know, the fact that, you know, I think we really saw this, you know, it keeps coming back to this for me, but we really saw this with Larian Studios. You know, they released a beta that you paid full price for to get. And if you already had the open beta, and then when you bought the, you know, when the full game came out, you got a free upgrade to the digital deluxe. Like, that kind of really shook up the market and kind of, at least for me, showed that there is really the capability of, you know, fair pricing. And, you know, incentivize, you know, offering real incentives for fair pricing. And like you said, Nintendo is a business first and foremost. And
yeah, and a very profitable business too.
A very profitable business too. So yeah, I mean, I get, like, I'm still going to stand by, like, I'm not surprised that the games are going to be as expensive as they are. But again, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. And I saw some of the things you were posting in the Discord earlier today, Joel, just kind of doing like a wide swath of just kind of what people have been talking about with the for what to switch to. So I'm bringing up this IGN article that he sent about like the different pricings for everything that Nintendo announced hardware wise and accessory wise. Like, we already went over the consoles, you know, $449 Solo with the $4.99 bundle, which I will add, having Mario Kart World be $80 makes the bundle way more valuable, because you're literally getting Mario Kart World for like $30 less.
If it stays at that price.
If it stays at that price. That is very, it is very fair. It is a very fair statement. Let's see. They announced their Switch 2 Pro controller, which looks really nice. And from reports that it's a very nice controller. It's going to be $80. So that's about a $10 increase, which for a next-gen console isn't kind of out of the norm, you know, because it does have newer features in it. I think it's HD Rumble 2. It has the actual audio jack this time, because there is going to be an actual way to chat with people on a Switch, which is fucking fantastic. And then the one that people really kind of went, oh my god, with was to buy a set of Joy-Con 2s that's going to ring you up $90. So that's kind of a little bit more than the Joy-Cons were, because I think the Joy-Cons kind of fell at like the $70 range. So this is like $20 more.
At first.
Everything else on this list, I kind of thought was okay. Like, they have the charging grip for the Joy-Cons, which is like $35. That's okay. The straps are like $13. They have like a wheel accessory. That's $20. The camera that they announced for the Switch 2 is is $50, which I kind of think it's a little too much for what they showed off. Cause like I'll give Nintendo credit. When they were showing off the chat features, you could stream your gaming into like the chat so your friends could see. And then also, if you have the camera, you could put you over it. The bit rate on that shit was garbage, but I appreciate that they actually didn't lie to us that it was going to not look like shit. That being said, for like what is just like a little tiny web camera, I'd have to see like what exactly is in it, because I know there's like an auto shutter feature. Like when it's off, it shutters itself. So like it can't like see you or anything like that. So I don't know if that's why it's kind of running up to the price, but I don't know. If you want to buy a whole new dock set, that's going to run you like $110. Which I'm kind of waffling between, because I think if this was the original Switch, I think that would have been too much. But the fact that the dock for the Switch 2 is going to have its own cooling fan, but also it's supposed to help the Switch 2 go up to 4K, I think makes it a little bit more worth it. I mean, like if you're looking for a second dock to purchase, that's not terrible. Carrying cases, whatever. And like a regular charging adapter is like $30. So like that kind of stuff isn't too bad, but like I think the biggest ones for sure are like the controllers and the consoles themselves. Now, I just want to go back to Ben in the chat. It says the highest cost games are just going to be to end up with people waiting for sales, which will upset shareholders as they see poor numbers on releases of games. And then he says, is it bad that F-Zero GX Online is the biggest selling point for me? No, because we've talked so many times, Ben. We've been waiting for an F-Zero game that was playable. And the fact that they're giving us online is great. Like, sure, it's not a new F-Zero game, but F-Zero GX is a pretty banger game. It's hard as fuck, but the fact that we'll be able to play online is great. Also, shout out Soul Calibur 2 with Link, also going to be online as well. So that's fucking fantastic. Tangent, you know, put aside, the thing I've been kind of seeing by people that are more angry about a lot of these announcements, a lot of these details, is saying that it's ridiculous that some of the prices for this stuff is what it is because it's a Nintendo console. So there's a good portion, I won't say majority, but there is a good portion of the video game audience that looks at Nintendo differently just because of what they are known for. They're kind of known for not being in the mix as far as like what's considered like the console wars. They gave it Xbox and PlayStation, and it's like Nintendo's off to the side as like the console for your like your cousin or like your sibling kind of thing like that. But I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think people that really look into like the specs of like what the hardware is for certain consoles realize how significant the Switch 2 is as far as like what it's going to be able to do. And they just keep putting Nintendo into like this, like, oh, this is like the family console. This is like the console for family friendly stuff. Am I wrong to say that?
I think it depends on the demographic. I kind of want to tie it what we were talking about. Yes, I feel like with the initial Switch launch, that was a fair comparison. But now, with it, you know, going to, you know, 4K, online chat lobbies now, and a hefty price tag. We don't even know the confirmed price for North American people. Like that's no longer the case. It's
going to have Elden Ring, Cyberpunk. They're getting their own.
F-Zero.
They're getting their own FromSoft game. Street Fighter 6, which plays, which was proven that it like they did. They ran the numbers. The Switch 2 version is going to play better than the Series S version.
So,
and yeah, people dog on that version, but still, the fact that a Nintendo console can run better than the low tier Xbox is insane.
Yeah, it's not like you can't. It's hey, your cousin grew up. You can't ignore them anymore. You know, they're here, and I don't know if you can think that way anymore, especially with like the price tags that we're talking about. And, you know, at the same time, it's more expensive and might tie into games costing more. But at the same time, to Ben's point, like, there are, you know, not as well-created games that are cheaper, that are better. I mean, look at Helldivers, right? It's using an old system, how it was made, I should say. They put it on, like, next gen or whatever, and it runs fucking great. And it's not at, you know, that it wasn't, like, 70, it wasn't 80, you know? Right. But, yeah, it's... You can look at like a fucking family console if you want, but it's the fact that it can run Street Fighter 6 now, and it's probably, with all those accessories, we're just talking about $600. Because if you have if it is a family game, you're buying controllers, you're buying more than one, you know, you're buying two, multiple games.
You want to note the wildest
it's
there thing
now.
Is?
It's rubbing shoulders with them now. And you know what? They're doing better, too, than the other, you know, big boy consoles. They're curbing fucking scalpers. You have to have required time on the fucking Switch before you get Switch 2. Xbox? Nope. Didn't think of that. PlayStation? Nope. Didn't think of that. Steam Deck? No way, of course, you know? So Nintendo's here, and they're ready to play. So
I just wanted to drop this little bit of Street Fighter 6 knowledge. So the people who were able to test out the Street Fighter 6 on the Switch 2, they're saying that it has the second lowest input latency of any version of Street Fighter 6. So that means it's just right below the PC version of Street Fighter 6. You know, like, sure, I could just be saying that and it doesn't really matter to people, some people listen to us, but like, the Switch 2 is going to be able to be taken advantage of depending on who is making it. And I just kind of want to bounce off what you just said, Joel, as well as what Ben was saying in the chat. But it's very true. Game companies could push to just not try to make the highest budget game, the most fit, highest fidelity, best graphics, whatever, and focus on experience. But let me, the reason why I'm not so upset about the prices for Nintendo's games for the Switch 2 is because out of any of the main major companies, like video game companies, when was the last time we ever complained about a Nintendo game at launch feeling incomplete or unfinished when it comes out?
I would never say for you guys, Pokemon Sword and Shield, the fucking motorcycle one.
Yeah,
but that's a whole other thing, though.
That's a Game Freak problem. But like Nintendo,
I'm saying that's it. Like, imagine all the games.
I mean, you're but besides that, the game was still play. It was like the highest selling Pokemon game.
True. Yeah.
That too.
Which I mean, Pokemon is the whole thing in like a whole nother beast in general. But like, as far as like Legend of Zelda, Mario, you know, the main core Nintendo games are always complete and always feature rich for what they are, compared to like the big budget games that come out with day one patches and, you know, they still kind of run weird sometimes. Like, not to the developer's fault, but sometimes.
And I'll bet you 10-1 we're not going to get a Nintendo game with missing voice lines.
Oh, I'm going to talk about this later too.
Because to what you're saying, Brian, I feel like Nintendo would say we're going to hold back on the release.
And they always do.
Yeah.
Like Metroid Prime 4. They restarted that game because they didn't like how it was going. And look at it now. It looks fantastic. And you have like the weird hybrid like mouse controller with like the one Joy-Con in hand. And apparently it plays really good. It looks good and it's running. It will be able to have a quality mode or a performance mode and like go to like 120, like 60 frames a second and looks gorgeous. And that's on the Nintendo console. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting time to see what the Switch 2 is going to be offer as far as like viability and see how many people kind of like look at Nintendo as a major thing. Since we're kind of talking about this real quick, while you're talking, Joby and Joel, I looked up the tech specs for the Switch 2, and I've heard a lot of people talk, like, compare it to, like, the Steam Deck, and I just kind of, like, wanted to do, like, a little comparison. So, for people that don't know, the Steam Deck has three different versions right now. It has the lower end, which is like their LCD, like $400 model. The mid-tier, which is an OLED, 512 gigs, runs about $550. And of course, the high end is like the 1 terabyte OLED that runs you about $650. The Switch 2 blows the low-end Steam Deck out of the water, like outright. Has better screen, bigger screen. The Switch 2 is going to be able to go up to 4K, so it blows that out of the water. Has a better battery life. And I'm looking at the mid-tier, and just based off of like what Steam just kind of has out for their specs for the mid-tier OLED or Steam Deck, the Switch 2 kind of looks a little bit better. It's not an OLED, but it is an HDR, like really nice LCD screen, which looks really good. The Switch 2 screen is still bigger. The Switch 2 is like a 7.9, where this one's a 7.4, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it kind of matters a little bit.
Size does matter.
Size does matter. The Switch 2's refresh rate is better. Because the Switch 2 will be able to go up to, 120, while this one go this Steam Deck goes up to 90 refresh rate. The battery life is somewhat, you know, similar, because they said like, oh, it'll be, I think they said like two to nine or 2 to 6 hours, depending on what game you play. So it's like, it's kind of like a hit or miss depending on what you're doing. But I'm just kind of bringing this up because I'm seeing a lot of people keep dogging on. It's like, oh, it's a Nintendo console. It's like, why is these things like, well, yeah, it's a Nintendo console, but this is like Nintendo really trying to like get into like the modern day. Like I said, it's going to be able to go to 4K. It has HDR. It has the NVIDIA DLSS. The AI chip is supposed to help make everything look better and like run cleaner, run faster. Even the mic on the Switch is going to be taking advantage of the NVIDIA broadcast software. So it's going to have the good noise canceling, the noise canceling that I currently use for here. So it's going to run probably pretty good just based off of a lot of other people, a lot of other streamers, experience with like NVIDIA software. So the Switch 2 is going to be a runner for somebody's only console. Cause like, well, we said they're going to have Elden Ring. They're going to have, Cyberpunk. They're going to have like third party, like a third party interest.
They've like already also got Fortnite, which is one of the largest, like, has one of the largest active gaming communities.
Exactly. And I tried playing Fortnite on the Switch, and oh my God, that was garbage. It does not run well. Yeah. But like, this is going to be a major upgrade for people that play Fortnite on the Switch. 100%. And not to mention, like, you know, they're already getting confirmation that they are going to be getting Call of Duties. They are going to be getting the major like 2K, like NBA 2Ks, and they're probably going to get the EA like Madden series at some point. And hopefully, fingers crossed, if the third party developers know how to take advantage of the Switch 2, will, you know, have success where in the past they would try and fail with like the Wii U, and then some Switch ports didn't run, like, work out. Like, there were some successes, like, you know, The Witcher 3 was a success. Skyrim was a pretty good port on the Switch, but then you had like really bad ones like Mortal Kombat that looked like fucking garbage. It's going to be there, and it's going to be up to third party. But when you have first party Nintendo software, you can pretty much guarantee that it's going to be quality. I know I was ranting a little bit there, but I just kind of wanted to get that point across. Like, you have to like think about this as, at least from like what Nintendo.com says about what the Switch 2 is going to be able to be capable of, you know, and from what I've just been hearing that people have been going to the experiences this past weekend, like, the Switch 2 could be what everybody's been asking for, a modern, you know, high-tech Nintendo console.
Speaking of games that are going to be available, I sent this in our Discord a couple days ago. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Nintendo just recently announced that they're going to be bringing back GameCube games and the select library, kind of like what they've been doing with like N64 games.
Yes.
Which I've seen nothing but excited people online. You know,
100%.
I've been seeing a lot of like GameCube mentioned in comments on videos. Which, you know, to your point of like, yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff to look forward to. But the fact that Nintendo is also going to be like, hey, well, let's bring some stuff out of the vault that hasn't been touched in forever.
Exactly. Because like, we were just mentioning before, like F-Zero GX, that was like arguably, besides like F-Zero 99, was like the last real F-Zero game. that was made is coming back and it's going to be playable. The GameCube Soul Calibur 2, which never got a re-release because, you know, it has Link in it and Nintendo didn't work well. Like when they made the HD version of Soul Calibur 2, it had Spawn and Heihachi, but it didn't have Link because of Nintendo. So this will be the first time since the early 2000s that we have a viable version of Soul Calibur 2 for the GameCube available. And they did show off a few other ones. Of course, some people were mad about the Wind Waker because they were hoping for like the HD version to be re-released. But as far as like the up-resing techno, the like processing power, like it apparently looks okay. But you know, we'll still have Wind Waker, and I believe down the line we're going to be getting like Pokemon Colosseum, Super Mario Sunshine, which is kind of awkward because they released it like a few years ago in that like Mario collection and took it away after like 4 months, so that was kind of weird.
Apparently, there's going to be a Hitman title.
Yeah, and like they announced that the IO. The same people that are making Hitman are in the process of making a 007 game, and that's coming to the Switch too, mm-hmm. which is cool. But yeah, it's very exciting to see Nintendo kind of be in a space where they are going to be more caught up with other consoles, but they're still holding on to like what they're good at, and what they're good at is making enjoyable experiences with their first party content, which, like, I don't know about you guys, but Mario Kart World looks really sick and Donkey Kong Bonanza looks fucking sick. And that kind of leads to the idea of like, okay, well, with all the announcements aside and everything, we have to kind of look over to what the fuck is the US going to do?
Cry and suffer.
Cry.
Put it on credit.
Well, I also, before I get too far away from it, I do want to kind of kick it back to one of Ben's comments in the chat.
Go for it.
About, you know, the high cost of games are just going to end up with people waiting for sales. And, you know, I can't help but agree with that. But I'm also, like, this is kind of something that I've been talking about with my friends ever since this whole tariff business started becoming an issue. And even with just the video game industry outside of the like the tariffs and everything, like, yeah, like people are just going to end up waiting and stakeholders are going to get pissed. And you know what? That's the only thing that we can do. Like if we're going to be so upset about the high cost of stuff, like then yeah, we need to wait. And I think that also, you know, a lot of what I have been talking about is, you know, as much as we say like, yeah, we should just wait, blah, 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 like we're really underestimating the purchasing power that the gaming community has and the inability to wait for the prices to come down, which is why I said at the beginning, like, I don't really think that the higher price on this stuff is going to stop anything.
Oh, no.
And
if you can afford it, you're going to buy it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and yeah, like people are going to get priced out. And that really does suck. And it does. I wish that wasn't a thing, especially from a Nintendo, like Nintendo centric perspective, where historically Nintendo has been like the more affordable, family friendly, you know, company to buy from. But at the same time, we're also talking about these you know, tariffs might cause prices to go up. I was reading an article today that was saying that the actual like impact of the tariffs, like most likely, just regarding the Switch, you know, we won't really see prices increase like dramatically right out the gate, and that it's more likely it's going to be a slow and steady increase over the next 2 years, and then, you know, depending on sales performance, Nintendo will either reevaluate the cost and keep it at, you know, keep it where it's at, or they're going to bring the cost down. kind of like what we saw with the PlayStation. Again, like the cost of the PlayStations kept going up and up and up because demand was, you know, they couldn't keep up with the demand. And then by the end of the pandemic, the price for the PlayStation plummeted. And so, you know, I can't help but think that this is going to be more of the same. So, you know, I'm losing my train of thought as I'm saying.
Well, to kind of pick off what you're saying is like, I think Nintendo, as far as their console pricing goes, they've always been like, the farther the lifespan of a console goes, I feel like they've always been pretty good about adjusting the price. Like, we've seen that through the Switch's lifespan, where the Switch started out as a, you know, close to $400, like under $400, and then as the years went on and like the other iterations started coming out, they would price it accordingly when they would drop it to what the original Switch ended up like almost being in like the 200s at one point. Like, the Switch Lites were just under 200, and then even the second version ended up being dropped in price when the OLED came out, and the OLED wasn't even far behind that. Is like, it got like a small price drop as well. I did kind of chuckle a little bit thinking it was like, Nintendo putting games on sale. What? When have they ever done that shit? Nah, man. And you pay for Diamond and Pearl $60 on the DS. Yeah,
and
forever.
I just want to say that goes back to people thinking it's been like a kid's game. Like, yeah, it is, but you haven't been paying attention. Like, to your point, Pokemon games never fucking go on sale.
Yeah.
Ever.
You're paying anything, as time goes on, the cost of those games goes up.
Yep. Yeah. So
like, have you guys looked at like trying to buy like an old Game Boy Advance cartridge of like Pokemon Ruby or Emerald? Like, good fucking luck. Heaven forbid you go back to like a Game Boy Color cartridge. Those things are gonna cost you like at least $200.
Yeesh.
But I remembered my original point of what I was saying during my tirade. It's, if we want to see prices come down again and stabilize into a more, you know, more like what we were used to, we got to slow down with our trigger fingers on buying this shit. To Ben's point exactly, like, we need to make shareholders mad. It, like, the only way that we can get any sort of, you know, stabilization of this kind of market that we've created is if we stop dumping money into it.
Yeah, right. Oh god, there was a quote. There's a quote I heard on Kind of Funny. I forget where it originated from, but when they're talking about just this thing, it's like, gamers, we all have backlogs, don't we? time to dive into those backlogs.
Yeah. All those but games.
That's
that
exactly
you
what we
like,
need to
I'm
do.
Go play that game now. Oh wait, but this new game just came out. Like, yeah, it's time to go dust off all the shit that you bought 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And just, like, stick your head in the sand and wait for it all to blow over.
Yep.
Ben says, hell, that's what I did with Death Stranding and Ghost of Tsushima recently. Just kept waiting and waiting until I was able to get both of them for $60 total.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. Like, honestly, like... This has been such a great example of what life has been like as a gamer post Game Pass. Because we've taken for, I don't say we as in the royal we have now taken for granted these services that, for better or for worse, has made it more accessible to get games when they come out. But like now, is going to be the time where we kind of have to really take a good look at, is it worth getting it when it comes out? Or do I wait and just kind of play the games that I've never touched before that are sitting on my shelf right now or in my hard drive right now?
Yeah. Jameson and chat goes, ironically, I'm playing Pokemon Gold on my OG Game Boy. Like, that's
hell
what I'm talking
about.
Like, every few hell months, I pick up my Game Boy SP and I load up Leaf Green. You know, because, like, sometimes you just got, like, like, yeah, a new Pokemon's gonna come out. That's inevitable, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's so much shit that's gonna happen in the meantime. Like, let me just bury my head in the sand, play something that I'm used to, something I haven't played in a while, and, you know, just take it from there. Like, there's no reason. Well, there is reason, because we got to have the new shiny thing.
Yeah.
But there's no reason that we need to keep dumping our wallets on these games when we know how pissed off we're going to be at the end of it. You know, throwing it to Joel again with Destiny. Like, how many hundreds of dollars have we collectively in this, you know, podcast, like, spent on Destiny, while at the same time knowing, like, I'm gonna fucking hate this shit, it's gonna be disappointing, I can't believe I'm doing this again.
Joby, I spent $100 on that plastic tower right behind me.
Yeah,
no game exactly. Included, just the tower.
Yeah, like, I didn't need to spend $300 on a raid jacket, but I was like, ooh, I earned that, I'm gonna buy it. Like, how much money have we given to Bungie collectively
over a game that
over 10 years?
Over 10 years,
it's got to be at least 1,000.
Over a game that we're like, even like, I don't really play anymore. Joel's talking about like how much he wants to quit but can't.
Let's see.
This is the first season, for real. I'm going to say why later.
the first 5 years were like $60 a year. And then it started climbing up to like 70, and then they started bundling them, so it's like it was like $100-something.
Yeah, you get 3 seasons for $100. Yep.
And then if you want the season pass, you got to kick them more money. Oh, but if you can't afford that right now, you can use silver instead. Oh, but if you don't have enough silver, you could buy silver.
Joby, you know you want to buy those emotes.
I mean, I do want to buy those emotes. That's the thing. That is like exactly what I'm talking about. The
costumes, ships,
costumes,
speeders, ornaments.
Yeah, sparrows. Like, yes, like we have created an environment of crass consumerism. And the only way that we're going to see any change is if we like seriously pump the brakes on that. And, you know, I think I've kind of inadvertently done it by like, I've effectively quit gaming cold turkey. You know, I do plan on getting back into it at some point, but like, I have noticed that at the end of the month, I still have money in my bank account because I'm not spending money on shit that I used
surprise,
to be spending
money surprise.
On.
Surprise, surprise.
You know, and I'm like, wow, why do I still have $500? Oh, because I didn't spend $14.99. on that silver bundle. Like,
$20 here and $20 there, $40 exactly. here and $60 here.
Nintendo's joining the fold with that too. Woohoo! Welcome Nintendo to Microtransaction City.
But you know, they weren't it was inevitable. Everyone's on the microtransaction hype.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the only way where it's going to stop is if we stop.
Yeah. You kind of just remind me of another little argument point that we can kind of kick into, and then we can kind of just, you know, let this conversation rest for today. There's some more scuttlebutt about some physical versions of the Switch 2 games going to be basically just glorified download codes for the most part. They're saying pretty much like you'd buy a certain game and then on the box it'll say like, oh, you know, inside the box is going to be a download code to download the game. And a lot of people saw that and be like, well, what the fuck? We're paying physical for something that is going to be just completely a digital download, which is, you know, it's a fair argument. Delving into a little bit more, what that is that certain games that are going to be on the Switch 2, their file size is going to be too big for the cartridge itself. So it's pretty much going to be, you know, you buy a physical, but then you'll have to download the entire game onto the Switch, which before it used to be like the majority was on like the cartridge itself, and then you'd probably download like the updates and stuff like that. So just to kind of, you know, clarify that for anybody who hasn't heard that yet. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's some people that only play Nintendo, so it's kind of new, but like we've kind of been living through that for years now. At least for us, like play on Xbox or PlayStation, it's like the game's not the game is technically on the disc, but we have to download the full thing onto the console. So it's kind of Nintendo, I will say this, is the company that doesn't word things clearly is kind of their fault.
Yeah.
But I just kind of want to put that out there. It's like it's not a radical new thing that's happening. You know, it's unfortunately just kind of the way games are going. Like year after year, digital is slowly rising. It's getting to the point where it's almost equal to the amount of physical games purchased. Because I think the last time I saw it, it's like physical was like 62% of it. And it just keeps getting smaller every year. Like the more games that come out only in digital, or it just becomes easier and easier to get digital. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm also of the mind that we should stop buying physical until they start putting little booklets back in the plastic packaging again.
Or like providing the steel books, though.
What's in it? Just a disc? I don't care.
But it looks pretty. It looks pretty.
Give me like a cool little like booklet thingy to flip through again. I remember when Skyrim first came out, it came with like an entire map that you could, you know, hang up on your wall. Like Pokemon games used to come with like a map and a booklet. I see several of them on your wall, Brian.
I know. Yeah, you're right, though. Like when instruction manuals used to be in games.
Yeah, like I don't want to spend $90 on a plastic book just to give me a code to download a game. I'm just going to go download the game.
Yeah. Like it's, I still understand. Cause like every now and again, I will buy physical. That's usually for more of a collection purpose now. Like I still buy all the physical versions of Assassin's Creed, but that's just because I love Assassin's Creed and I want them to be somewhat accessible in case like the worst case scenario happens and we go back into the Dark Ages. But I do find myself, especially with like the services like Game Pass and like PSN, I just find myself being more and more digital, and it's just become easier. Now I know it's not accessible to everybody, which is still why physical is still kind of dominating, but the margins are starting to get closer and closer as the years go by.
I mean, the only reason I bought a PS5 with a disc drive was because I also didn't want to have to buy a DVD player.
Fair.
And like, yeah, that means I got to pay more for the console, but like it's dual purpose for me at that point. Cause like I still have a bunch of DVDs.
Or you could just spend $80 to get the disc drive.
Yeah. But I'm not going to buy the game. I'm going to download the game.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's just funny to kind of, do you guys remember when the Xbox One got revealed a long time ago? And the biggest controversy was that they were going to try to do this thing where the games would be like mostly just downloaded. Like there was the DRM thing, which was kind of weird, but it was like the, like games will be mostly downloaded now. Like the CD is just going to be the installer for the most part, and how everybody raged about it. And now that's just kind of like, yeah, of course. But why would you think that'd be different? It's like, it's just so weird where we started from to where we are now is kind of wild.
Well, everyone has a knee-jerk reaction to change. And then once the change just kind of becomes the status quo, it's like, oh yeah, can you believe how upset we got like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And the companies are laughing all the way to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Or crying all the way to the unemployment line.
Well, that's the people that depending work on for the companies.
Fair. Fair.
The whole year of that. Whole year of reporting on that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Like I say, we're kind of in a holding pattern now, so we kind of don't know what's going to happen as far as the Switch 2 goes. So it'll be kind of exciting to get more updates as the days and weeks and months go on.
Well, it'll be more interesting, especially because several sources have confirmed that there are currently Switch 2 devices in the States. They shipped almost 400,000 units already.
I'm not surprised. Like, Nintendo was very open about being like, hey, like, when the Switch came out, we didn't expect it to be selling gangbusters. We ran out real quick. We want to try to curb that this time. And then also try to keep it from scalpers, which is kind of nice. But yeah, I'm not too surprised that there's already like consoles ready to go here to be sold. Yeah. Now the question is, how do we get them now is going to be the interesting question that we have to wait and see on, and how much they're going to be. You must challenge. You must challenge Sakurai to Smash Brothers Ultimate. If you could beat him playing two characters at once, and then you can get the Switch 2 for free. But yeah, so we'll just kind of have to wait and find out before we kind of transition to some other quick stuff real quick. Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up while we're still on like the Switch 2 conversation?
That's all I really have to say about it.
We're pretty much in agreement, you know. It is what it is. We don't even know. It's a lot of speculation. It sucks for people who've been saving up and like it's gonna affect them and they are not aware. For us, we kind of, you know, even like I was talking about it with my wife earlier, like when the PS3 was announced, it's like $500, go fuck yourself. I'm an Xbox guy now. But you know, like I mean, like we said, also people have the money and we'll dish it out. I mean,
yeah,
it sucks for those who can't, and for those who can, they're gonna do it anyway. And for everyone else, it's like we're gonna wait. I mean, I was thinking about when you guys were talking, like Midnight Suns, the game was like 70 to 80 for like a special edition, and now I get alerts on Xbox, it's like it's on sale for $20. And I'm like, now I'm gonna wait a little longer. I'm not in that much of a rush, so. I guess it's like it comes down to how bad you want the Switch 2, right? So,
yeah. Yeah, I guess I'll just kind of end this conversation with, you know, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, don't bring politics into video games, but
too late, too fucking late.
Someone
30 years late.
Someone on like Blue Sky like said like, don't bring politics into video games. Well, politics found you.
Yeah.
So that's that. Moving along, Joel, why don't you tell us, why don't you tell us, what has been going on? What has got you ruffled?
So today was the day.
Okay.
I was literally playing and I was like, I think I'm not dedicated enough to keep playing this. I was doing a mission and I'm like, this is kind of too hard. I had the day off. I wanted to do the exotic mission, which I'm about to complain and praise at the same time. You know, thank you to those who worked on and created it. But I felt almost like abilityed out, edged out, you know? I was like, I don't have the time for this. Like if it was after work, I would have been pissed off, you know, and stuff, tired, but I had the day off. It's like, I'm going to do this. I looked it up. Part of it's like lazy and I was doing laundry and stuff, but I was like, am I having fun? Like I was like looking at my character standing on this blight
in the sky. I'm like, am I having fun? You know, I was doing the new mission. We get a new subby, and it's cool. You damage, it regenerates ammo, and when you get enough stacks, you send out, you know, those blight seekers, hobgoblins send out the taken ones. They like track. Yeah. They do it super fast. It's really cool. It's a great concept. The gun looks weirdly alien, but I was like, it took a long time to set up the quest, at least for me. And then they adjusted the how you get it because they changed the instance. So I didn't know how to do that, but I figured it out. So that was annoying. But it's an exotic mission, something Destiny has refined, right? You do this cool, unique thing, unique dialogue. You get this cool weapon. Cool. It's, you know, it was cool, but the lack of the voice lines. I'm like, I see text, but I'm doing something. I don't hear them. This is so disarming, you know? I'm like, Aerith said something, Drifter said something, and Sloane is, you know, again, like, yes, reading is great, but it's like, you know, the whole point of Destiny, I think, is you want to feel immersed, right? And that's what drew me in. Nothing felt like it. There was, you know, equal to none. I have 4,000 fucking hours in the game. And it's killed when it's supposed to be a cool moment, and it's just like, you know, I'll spoil the ending for you. Doors are closing. There's a boss, right? You're trying to seal the doors with you're leaving with your toy, right? And it's like, you're supposed to seal the doors. I'm like, I am? Just like, go ahead, get on that plate. It's like, okay. You know, and I'm just hearing like Thrall hitting me and shit and cinematics, you know, cool, but I would, you know, would like to hear the voice actor put in the work, at least for me, you know.
Oh, wait. The instructions were supposed to be voice lines?
I think, no, it's like an easy, like, guide. I'm just saying, like,
okay,
you know, the audio cue with it would have been really nice. There's a marker. It's not, like, only audio cue. Okay. But I was like, oh, man, like, that would have been a lot cooler with voice lines. But yeah. Second thing, so this week, or was it last week? Maybe it was last week. They introed part 3 of the story. Really cool intro cinematic. Something like dynamic happens. Like, oh, this is sick. And it's the boss, but they're not talking.
Oh, man.
It's a really cool moment too. And I'm like, oh. To hear the boss actually delivering these lines, like all of them, would be sick. And yeah, so it's, you know, it this last part is very fetch questy, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, I was thinking about joining this raid group Saturday, but I don't know. I really had this serious conversation with myself, like, I don't think I'm gonna pull the trigger right away on the next thing. Like, that has been like, I gotta be on top of it, gotta be ready to do it, and, you know, at least be there for my clan. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to, you know, it's, you know, it's still great moments. It's cool moments. Yeah. But it's just like, you've had a whole fucking season of like missing lines. Like, what is this? Like,
right.
Like we were talking earlier, Nintendo delivers fully, you know, for the most part, like it's all fleshed out. Sure. There are bugs and whatever, it's going to happen, but like not missing shit like that. You know, that's pretty egregious by comparison. Right. I'm sure there's some examples too. It's like, ugh. You know, and then I'll post a clip later on my TikTok, but I was like, I was playing too. I was like, all right, let me do some like question I have to do. And then like, yeah, I fell through the fucking wall again. I'm like, okay, whatever. Or the floor. Like, oh, brother. Can you damn, fix this? man. Yeah.
The
plan I complain, but I still play, right? But it's just, this season has been the hardest season as a dedicated Destiny fan for me. It's been rough.
It's,
you know, when you see the parts just falling off, you know, it's like, and this is supposed to be the dreadnought, the thing that people love, right? And I'm like, I have like a, like, I love Destiny, but I'm not like thinking about it every fucking second, you know. I'm not, you know, I know when to take a break and stuff, but it's like people who love the Dreadnought, who love the Taken King, like this is probably ass for them, some of the things, you know? It's like, ugh. I assume. I don't know. Maybe they're gone. Maybe they saw this coming 3 years ago and that, you know, they jumped ship. I don't know. No, you were still playing 3 years ago. Nice try. Put your hand down. Yeah. Yeah. And damn. I'm like, if Zebra Rass is supposed to be raid boss, am I going to be able to hear them? It's like it loads in ominous music and it's like text. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this.
So,
and then there's supposed to be a marathon preview this weekend, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Or soon, I believe. Gonna have
voice lines for that? It's all text based? I don't know. I don't know. It's tough too. It's like you don't want to play anymore, right? And Ben won't play as much anymore because now he's busy. He's doing other things. He likes to play. You know, other people have dropped off. People I used to play with, they're dropped off. It's like, well, I'm here if you need help, guys. You know, but which is sad because they have some really cool stuff. You know, of course, shout out to the devs for working on it. It's like, ugh, fucking ugh. Yeah. Brother,
I mean, you're kind of reaching the same point that I reached, where it's like, I don't have the time anymore, and I'm falling behind, and it's getting harder to get a group together for the group content I want to do, and you're starting to see the writing on the walls. Having that in-game existential crisis. I'm like, welcome, brother. What took you so long?
Yeah, just the one question. Is this fun? I was like, shit, yeah. am I having fun? Is this a chore?
That's like the worst feeling in the world to like hop into a game and feel like you're wasting time.
I mean, that's kind of how I ended with Destiny. I was like, I don't want to do grind dailies anymore. Like to stay relevant. Like I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to go to, you know, my quest step is to go to that planet to talk to somebody, to go to another planet to talk to somebody, to go to another planet to talk to somebody, and I have to sit through the loading screens every single time. Like I would much rather just go do something else.
What? Well, at least when you did it, they had voice lines.
Well, why would you
now Eris talking to herself sometimes?
Well, why do you think I would take so long to do the raids? Because that was just some of the most tedious stuff. Like, cool, there was cool moments, but it's like I forget which raid it was, but I just remember the feeling of spending like 4 to 5 hours on a raid. It was probably Garden, and we didn't finish it. And I was like,
we've had a lot of those over the years.
And it's like, I could have been playing anything else right now. Not to say I wasn't having fun at moments, but it's just like the feeling is like I am not a raid guy. Like I will be the first one to admit I am not a raid guy. Like I will wait until everybody else in the squad like has done it like 12 times and then I'll hop in because it'll be a smoother process and I can just be the sixth wheel, like just shooting ads and whatnot. But like, I can't imagine whatever is supposed to be coming next if Destiny is going to be at the same quality it is now. Like, if I felt that way back then, like, I can't imagine what it would feel like to get to, like, that ultimate moment with Zebu Wrath and just be like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, what is this? But, like, Joel, just to get your feelings, like, how hovered is the finger over the escape button, like escape pod button? Like where are you with that?
I my hands were still on the wheel, you know. Today it's like, well, I'm looking at it. I always say that and something sick comes along, but I don't know, today I really felt like I seriously, like, I was driving earlier and I was like, I don't know if I need to get the next thing right away. And for me, that's a big indicator. Like, I'm, you know, even if it's not day one, week one, you know, I'm like, I'm there. Let's rock it together. Let's see what happens, you know.
Right. All I'll say is that I am happy that this started happening after Final Shape.
It was a great endpoint, and honestly they probably should have stopped and moved toward Marathon or something else, like maybe, I don't know, a different story focused on a character with the same feel, you know, or three characters, you know, and just make it like that or something. I don't know. It's, well, there's so much to do at the same time. Once you've reached the peak, like, what is there to do? That's the problem I ran into a long time ago. It's like, when I was maxed out once, I was like, what is there for me to do, right? I still want to play. It's like, well, I'm going to head into PvP. But it's like, even I've reached once the top of one of the facets, right? One of the pillars. Let's say there's three pillars. Reach the top. It's like, now what do I do? You know? It's like...
Yeah. I don't know. It's just... As much as... we don't want to look at it as a live service game. Like, at the end of the day, that's what Destiny is a live service game. And once that service starts to dip, you know, what, like you were saying, Joel, like, what is there to hold you down?
I don't want to do three Nightfalls. I don't want to do three Gambits. And I definitely don't want to do three PvP matches.
Well, you don't have to, Joby. Let me tell you, with the new Pathfinder system, you can do one of each and be done and get your exotic. And now you don't have to do bounties anymore. Instead, there are bounties in the activity that you can do and collect and get Bright Dust and do it over and over again.
Oh, boy.
So the reward is less now?
Not necessarily. Not guaranteed, necessarily.
Oh, it's just getting worse. The more I hear about it, it's getting worse. I'm so glad I stopped what I did.
You can get XP for doing something you were already planning to do.
Oh boy, I can level my season pass.
Maybe I'll get that Steamboat Willie fucking emo and just peace out. Maybe that'll be it.
See,
level 150.
If or just wait, it'll be available for Bright Dust soon. And apparently probably. You're getting a lot of Bright Dust.
Yeah, I am.
You know what's sad? If it was any other situation, I would have been totally down to grind for that Steamboat Willie emote. But hearing that it's like 150, it's like, I can't do that. It's not enough for me to fucking try anymore. which is sad. I mean, on the flip side, you know, the fact that
the flip side, you're free.
My chains have been broken.
Just come join me over here. It's a lot less stressful.
Yeah. But like the fact that we have been playing this game for like 10 years and we're just getting to that point of like, why the fuck am I still here, is a testament to what Bungie did with the game. And it does suck, especially like being so invested into it like any other franchise, and then like feeling like it feels like you're just kind of being pushed out of it a little bit. Instead of being pushed out by a community, you're being pushed out by the choices of higher up development.
they just reminded me, they reintroduced the fucking Sunless Cell Strike, the one with the giant guy with the hammer in the dark. Do you remember that from Destiny 1?
It's on
the
Yeah.
Missing voice lines too.
Is it the same mission?
They changed it up a little for Taken and the Dread, but yeah.
But or isn't Taken, it like, I guess. But besides like the enemies, is it still basically the same mission?
from what I saw, unless they change it up more in the night.
So why the fuck are they missing voice lines then? If it's almost the same exact mission, just use this.
They use the old stuff. With the story.
Support voice actors.
Yeah, for real.
We here at the podcast support our friendly neighborhood SAG-AFTRA voice actors.
We're very pro SAG-AFTRA.
Get paid.
We're very pro paycheck.
Yeah. we're pro getting the bag.
Yeah. Pro getting that shmoney.
Oh, I'm sorry that it seems like the world of Destiny is starting to crack and crumble for you, Joel.
I mean, I just my warlock is just gonna take that long rest that he found one day in that one mission. That's all.
Inside of the concrete steps.
Yeah. Right. Shit. Who knows? Yeah. I say it now. We'll see in a month how I really feel. I always bounce back and forth.
Knowing you, we'll see in 6 months.
Now watch. What if, like, fingers crossed, like in the next few weeks, like they finally make like a deal with the actors, and then all of a sudden, it's just all the voice lines just magically appear. And it's like, oh, well, they've been here all the whole time. It's just we haven't been able to, you know,
flip the switch on. Yeah, fuck you
guys. We haven't been able to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and whatnot.
If they actually did that, I would say we should go through the exotic mission because lore wise, it's cool. And that's it. That's it. Get the new subby.
Get the new subby.
New subby. There are some really cool moments. Ruined, in my opinion.
You guys just see the inner conflict happening before our eyes. Only time will tell for that story. We'll have to get back with you next time to see if anything's changed or not.
Yeah, changes. You know, changes a lot.
Yeah, changes.
We'll keep our thumb on the weekly pulse.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll be there tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, anything else before we kind of just wrap it up for today?
I know Joby posted something, but kind of related. So there's a John Wick property being worked on.
Oh yeah,
I know.
Animated. Yeah.
So I'm a little sad.
And it's
because,
a prequel.
Interesting.
It will be cool because it's John Wick, but the creative director from Ultraman Rising left to go do that. So Rising is currently being shelved. Unfortunately, I really like that because Netflix do what they do. So yeah, sad face, but cool from one thing another. It was good. This, you know, it was Ultraman Rising. Apparently the working title was Ultraman Fallen, and I was, oh man, that sounds sick. But, wah, wah, wah. Also, it was announced they just started production of Godzilla and Kong 3 in Australia.
I really thought you were about to say GTA 6.
We already just started right now.
Yeah. No. You went available real hard on that G.
Available 2025.
Getting started. I'm wearing my minus one shirt today. So, yeah, that's cool. It. Some fun news instead of just berating the past 20 minutes, whatever I was doing.
I did see that you posted earlier that they're releasing the trailer for the new Predator movie, which apparently is animated too.
I didn't know it was animated. That's gonna be really interesting, but yeah.
So a lot of I will say we. Oh, I just remembered something that I don't know if I want to bring up now, because I know both you probably haven't seen it. Joby, I don't know if you're gonna see it, but just because we're talking about animated, I binged watched the entire season of the new Devil May Cry anime last week.
I've only seen one clip online, and I am very enticed.
It is a fun show. I'll give it that. I know. So I can't say anything spoilery until you guys watch it, which is fine. I will say that I am fully aware that my opinion of the show is very skewed because of how big of a Devil May Cry fan I am. And I understand that this is an alternate reality. This is like an alternate, like, retelling of the story. So it's okay. I do have my nits to pick, and I have my differences, but overall, I do think it is a very fun show to watch. I'll say that it's of the quality comparing it to like the Castlevania series. I think Castlevania is like a little bit nicer as far as how it looks, but I think the style of the Devil May Cry show works for what it is. There are parts where the action looks really fun and really good. The voice acting itself is decent. There's some choices that I'm a little bit confused on, that I don't particularly care for. But I think for people that don't know about the Devil May Cry world as much, I think they'll just have a good time with it. Because my partner knows as much as I tell them, and they had a good time watching it. So I think if you're into the Castlevania series, not knowing anything about Castlevania, and it's kind of the same thing for Devil May Cry, I think you'll have a fun time. You will not regret wasting your time, especially if you grew up in the early 2000s, because boy, do they have a lot of early 2000s music.
Nice.
They knew what to do. Of course, you know, we know that Limp Bizkit is the main theme. The Roland is the main theme, so we got that. There are a few good points. At one point there's a Rage Against the Machines portion. There is a Papa Roach song somewhere in there, and they lucked the fuck out, because Evanescence came out with their first new song in 4 years for this show. Well, I don't know if it's for this show, but they released it with this show. So it's like we get a new Evanescence song in 4 years. So that was pretty sick. But yeah. All my other opinions are based off of stuff that happens in the show, so I will have to table my full opinion on this. But as far as right now, I say go watch it. It's a fun time. I will not give my rating on it just yet, because I don't want it to influence like you guys or anything like that. But yeah, if you have the time, it's only 10 episodes, and each episode's like 30-ish minutes. So it's a pretty easy watch, to be honest. Even though it's kind of weird that Johnny on Bosch is Dante, I think he did a really good job. He has the right energy for it. It is just weird, just because Johnny on Bosch has a very unique voice, and also he plays Nero in the games. So it's kind of hard for me at first to kind of not think of Nero first before Dante, but he did a good job. He did a good job. And Robbie Damon is also in the show, and I thought, which was surprising, because he did a good job, because I did not recognize him at first. It was because my partner likes to go look.
He's got a very recognizable voice.
He has a very recognizable voice, but like my partner likes to look up the cast listings as we're watching shows. And they're like, oh, Robbie Damon's in this. And I was like, who? Who was? See, I'm not saying who because I don't want to spoil anything. But I was just like, damn, he actually did a good job not being sounding Robbie like Robbie Damon.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But yeah, I will talk about it later once you guys watch it. So I just wanted to bring it up because we're talking about animation. But that was my thing.
I always remember at the end.
Okay. Any last minute takers before we kind of wrap this up?
No, that's all I had to talk about today.
It Takes Two is hella fun. I can't believe.
Oh, that's right. You played this Take Two. That's right.
Sarah and I are working on it right now, and I it's literally. It's up almost like Titanfall 2 level, like amazing. Like I can't equate it. It's just so good. I'm having a great time playing it. You know, it's a lot of fun and it's, you know, good teamwork. So, and I can't wait to play Split Fiction after. So
hell yeah,
it'll be fun. Yeah. But yeah, It Takes Two. If you haven't played it, like play it. It's great. Or watch a playthrough. That's it. My story.
They know how to make good games. All right.
The 60s were fun, but now I'm paying for it.
Well, with that being said, this is where we will end the podcast today. Of course, for anybody out there in the YouTube realm, we appreciate you watching the VOD version. If you would so kindly leave a comment down below telling us what you think about the Switch 2, the whole situation going on there, or, you know, anything else that we've talked about in this episode, please leave a comment down below. Like, subscribe, do that thing. And of course, everybody here on Twitch, thank you so much for hanging out with us, chatting in the chat. And of course, everybody on podcast services as well, thank you for listening. We very much appreciate it. We're actually just recently hit 50 on 51, YouTube
as of today.
Boy, there you go.
To the person who commented on your React video, they had like a Palutena or something, so they followed us too. So thanks, and thank you. We like it when you interact. We like talking to you guys on TikTok or YouTube. So.
And especially here on Twitch, we're about one away from 100, so that's a really big deal.
Time to make a burner.
So you know, for anybody that's been here for a long time or just joining us now, we all appreciate you hanging out with us, having these nerdy conversations, because that's what we love to do. Of course, this has been the United We're Nerd podcast. Wait,
I remembered something. Oh,
rewind the tape. Then
we can go.
Okay.
Recently, if I am not mistaken, it is the 30th anniversary of Gundam Wing. So.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know,
actually,
I don't know about 30th anniversary for us in America. It's probably like 28 or 29, maybe 27. But the fact that's almost been around 30 years, if I'm not mistaken. So that's all. Shout out to the one show that fucking changed my life. If I'm not mistaken.
Doesn't the new series come out this week?
Oh, yeah. The new
G-Quarks?
Yeah, G-Spark or whatever. Yeah, G-Quark. Yeah.
It's Gundam season, baby.
Oh, yeah. Well. Happy anniversary, Hero Yui and Duo Maxwell and Quacha Rabarba and Troa Barton and
Zex Marquise.
No, we don't need to talk about fucking Zex. No, just kidding. He's slick.
Miliardo right. Peacecraft.
Endless Waltz is a Christmas movie. Just a reminder, everyone.
It is a Christmas movie. It's very true. All right. Thank everybody for listening.
Hard Christmas movie.
All right. Keep on nerding, everybody.
That man's a fascist.